So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Folks, and welcome to Freedom Rings. Before I get going here, I just want to tell you I have an assistant laying next to me today. And hey, would you like to introduce yourself? And that is Misty, my little Fawn Point Tonkinese. She will be accompanying me throughout the show. She, just like George, will not have a mic, but she can't talk anyway, so that's okay. She is, however, smirgling me, so she's giving me this really nice arm massage. So even though she's incapable of helping out with the show, she is at least making a pain of herself. She's laying across my arm, which is making it difficult to navigate the mouse, so we'll see how this goes. But I forgot, and I left the door to the office open, and she invited herself in. Okay, she just jumped down, so let me go ahead and get the show started. So, welcome back to Freedom Ring, folks. This is Tommy Freedom, and I'll be coming at you loud and clear for the next 30 minutes. I want to start the show out. I did another gun show over this past weekend, and if you remember, I told you last time I did that about the absolute genius who tried to buy a 50 BMG AR-15 upper from me for $33.95. Well, I didn't encounter anyone quite that bad this show, but I did find a little bit of a humdinger. I was, in addition to selling the normal things that I sell, I decided to swap one item out for another. I got some old steel core ammo, some Chinese 7.62x39, some 308. So I happen to look over, and this guy is standing there, and he's picking them up, and he's looking at them. So I come over and ask him if I can help him, and he holds up a steel core 308 and asks me if he can shoot this indoors. These people do not belong at gun shows. And it's amazing, as a dealer, the people that walk by, that it's just absolutely scary that they are in possession of firearms, or at least interested in them. I mean, I've seen some really, I'm not really sure that the word to describe without really offending someone, but your stereotypical deliverance type person carrying a rifle by the barrel and dragging the butt on a concrete floor. I mean, it's just amazing the people that are out there. So anyway, well, I've got a couple things I want to get into today, and one of them is kind of interesting. It's about the problem with boa constrictors in the state of Florida, but I want to start out with an article in, I believe it was New Yorker magazine, or as I like to refer to it, the Jew Yorker magazine. So let me go ahead and bring this up here, because actually it's from the Federalist, based on an article that was published in the Jew Yorker. Now, this piece is titled, "The New Yorker Publishes Hate Piece Against Chick-fil-A's Christian Ethos." And it's got a little subtitle here, Liberals can't stand the success of a Christian-run company selling folks fried chicken sandwiches successfully with a smile. This story is amazing, folks, because it actually is starting to show who runs everything and who's in control. The Zionists are coming unglued, and this is going to explain a lot. Apparently, last month, Chick-fil-A opened its fourth franchise in Manhattan, and a lot of customers seem to be really happy, and the company's doing absolutely well. But apparently, some of those liberals just aren't happy. Now, this past Friday, The New Yorker published a story with a headline that said, Chick-fil-A's creepy infiltration of New York City. And as if that wasn't enough, they tweeted an even worse headline pulled directly from their own article. Listen to this, folks. Chick-fil-A's arrival in New York City feels like an infiltration in no small part because of its pervasive Christian traditionalism. Can you imagine that? I mean, if that is not the Zionists showing their true colors, folks, I don't know what is. I mean, if you read this and you had no idea what Chick-fil-A was, I mean, you could almost think that some terrorists or other hostile entity or people were invading New York City, you know, and having no idea that it was a restaurant that's famous for its fried chicken sandwiches. It's horrible. And folks, if you have never eaten Chick-fil-A, it started in Atlanta. It was actually started in a little house called the Dwarf House, because it was this little tiny house. And the founder, Truett Cathy, decided to move to a mall and actually created America's first food court. It was actually pretty cool. So when I first moved to the South, everybody kept talking about Chick-fil-A, and I finally tried it, and it's really good. It's a chicken sandwich, but it's got two dill pickle slices on there. It is absolutely awesome. I'm glad that they're finally making their way to the Northeast. Anyway, sidetracking here. But all this vitriol that's being directed toward a company with Christian highlights, I mean, it shows how much the liberals actually hate Christianity and what it stands for, and it shows who they are and what they stand for. So this article goes on to say, its headquarters in Atlanta is adorned with Bible verses and a statue of Jesus washing a disciple's feet. Its stores close on Sundays. The horror of it all. Its CEO, Dan Cathy, I guess grandson of Truett Cathy, has been accused of bigotry for using the company's charitable wing to fund anti-gay causes, including groups that oppose same-sex marriage. "We're inviting God's judgment on our nation," he once said, "when we shake our fist at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage." The company has since reaffirmed its intentions to treat every person with honor, dignity, and respect, but it has quietly continued to donate to anti-LGBT groups. How evil. Let me tell you something else about Chick-fil-A, folks. They have changed a little bit over the years, because when I first came to North Carolina some 30-plus years ago, what you saw working in Chick-fil-A were white men and women, and each location had somebody with Down syndrome. There were no blacks and there were no Hispanics. They hired the Down syndrome, either man or woman, to get around hiring a minority. They were hiring somebody who was mentally disabled. And it worked for a long time. Then one day I started noticing that that had changed. Whether they were sued or not, I don't know. But it was awesome to walk into a place and be served by white people. Now this new article, not the one from the Jew Yorker, goes on to say, excuse me here, got my throat's a little raw from the gun show this weekend. It's true, the late S. Truett Cathy was an outspoken Christian who integrated Christian ethos into the company's vision and mission. Orthodox Christianity has, since its beginning and through today, opposed homosexual behavior, so there's no surprise here. Because of its owners' also Christian views about Christ's love for sinners, the company has shown love and grace, through fried chicken sandwiches, of course, to communities in need over and over again, including communities grieving over gay loved ones. Apparently, showing love to imperfect people is too confusing a stance for New Yorker writers to handle. Amen. Now, following the shooting at the Pulse Gay Nightclub in Orlando, local folks gathered in line to donate blood. Employees of a nearby Chick-fil-A opened the restaurant, although it's normally closed on Sundays to give employees time with their families, and gave donors food while they were waiting. To donate blood to homosexuals. I mean, that's how these people are, okay? Stories like this abound, yet there's no mention of this kind of repeated generosity from the company. Nor do media reports convey that this kind of loving behavior is rooted in Christianity's central teaching that Christ gave his life on behalf of evil people, which is all of us. That's because compassion and success hurt the progressive narrative about the evils of faithful Christians. Instead, the New Yorker piece has a bone to pick, and it does so even to the point of sounding illogical and conspiratorial. Yeah, here's another snippet from it. The restaurant's corporate purpose still begins with the words to glorify God, and that these thrums below the surface of the Fulton Street restaurant, which has the ersatz homespun ambiance of a megachurch. David Farmer, Chick-fil-A's vice president of restaurant experience, told BuzzFeed that he strives for a pit crew of efficiency, but where you feel like you got hugged in the process. The evils of being hugged. That contradiction, industrial but claustral, is at the heart of the new restaurant and of Chick-fil-A's entire brand. Nowhere is this clearer than in the cows. If the restaurant is a megachurch, the cows are its ultimate evangelists. Now, folks, for those of you who aren't familiar with Chick-fil-A, there are these three Holstein cows that are on billboards, and they're on everything. It's their logo. It's not a chicken. It's these three cows. And they stand on 2 feet, and they like to draw. And their most famous saying, and it's written very scratchily, is eat more, M-O-R, chicken. Also misspelled. Eat more chicken. And they have billboards with three-dimensional cows on the front of it. It's absolutely hilarious. These cows don't want you eating hamburgers. They want you eating the chicken. It's absolutely hilarious. These people, I just cannot understand them. So, oh, let's see, what else do they have to say here? Chick-fil-A, meanwhile, is set to become the third largest fast food chain in the nation, behind only McDonald's and Charbucks. No matter how well such restaurants integrate into the community, they still venerate a deadening uniformity. Homogeneous food is comfort food, and chains know that their primary appeal is palliative. With ad after ad and storefront after storefront, they have given the resources to show that they have always been here for us, and recent trends indicate that we prefer them over anything new or untested. Jeez, Now, the guy that wrote this thing, he's actually correct about a couple of things. First, Chick-fil-A is successful, folks. This company generates more revenue than any other fast food restaurant, and it's not even open 7 days a week. It's very, very popular. Anytime you go in there, it's full. In 2016, average sales per restaurant were $4.4 million. That same year, the chain generated $8 billion in revenue. This kind of numbers obviously mean nothing to the jerk that wrote that article. And this, even combined with their unapologetic Christian ethos, makes him hate them all the more. It's not uncommon for progressives to show disdain for Christianity, but this was an effort of tongue-in-cheek here, cow-sized proportions. But all it did was just highlight the Jew Yorker's narrow-minded views that many people love Chick-fil-A. Interesting, huh, folks? Well, it's almost time for a break here. So what I'm going to do before I take the break, just got a couple minutes here. I found this quick little article that I want to share with you. Apparently, where did it go? Help if I click the right button here, wouldn't it? Okay, here it is. Now, apparently, gun activists have had enough of all this crap that's been going on protesting guns and the Second Amendment. So, I found this little article here. Gun rights activists rally at state capitals nationwide. This is really impressive. I mean, this guy's wearing a cowboy hat that's made like a flag. The hat portion is blue with the stars on it, and the brim is the red and white stripes. Looks pretty cool. He's got a black jacket on, and he's got a big patch on the back that says the Second Amendment, and then it's got some other stuff on. Oh, it is the actual Second Amendment. Yeah, eyes are going again. But anyway, it says here, a man wears a patriotic-themed cowboy hat during a pro-rights gun rally a pro-gun rights rally at the state capitol. This was on Saturday, April the 14th in Austin, Texas. So apparently these gun rights supporters have started gathering in all these state capitals, but the one they're mentioning here, they gathered in Atlanta for one of dozens of these rallies planned at state houses across the U.S. So according to the Associated Press's count, more than 135 attended the rally last Saturday, and more were arriving. Most of them were armed, and some held signs as they listened to speeches. A few people wearing actually Black Lives Matter t-shirts made videos, but didn't interact with the ralliers. Oh, I see. Okay, so there were some antis, but they knew better than to mess with them. Now, the rallies come less than 3 weeks after hundreds of thousands of people marched in Washington, New York, and elsewhere to demand tougher gun laws after the February school shooting in Parkland, Florida that killed 17. A group called the National Constitutional Coalition of Patriotic Americans says organizers have permits for gatherings in 45 states, and they encourage supporters to bring unloaded rifles in states where it's legal. Well, that in and of itself is very encouraging, and I am, for one, glad to hear it. Glad to see they're doing it, glad to see they're coming out, standing up for their rights as Americans, standing up, backing the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. First Amendment cannot exist without the Second. And on that note, I will leave you for a brief commercial break. I will be back in a couple of minutes with an interesting story on the economy and how even the Democrats are now having to admit that it is Trump and not Obama who's responsible for it. Interesting stuff, folks. I may not even get to that snake article at all.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Georgetown law professor Lewis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty, it may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so I am back. Now, before the break, I told you that there's an article, well, actually there's several articles out there that say that economists agree that Trump, and not Obama, is actually getting credit for the economy. One of the ones that I had found said that there were even Democrats who were acknowledging that. I unfortunately lost that one and found this one. If it's in here, that's fine. If not, then I just won't report on it, that's all. But who is really going to get the credit for the economy that we're in right now? I mean, really, who deserves it? Now, we all know that it's Donald Trump. But, of course, the liberals are claiming that it's Barack Obama. And the argument back and forth has not been pretty, to say the least. Now, how the voters kind of determine this during the elections could have a huge play on what happens from here on out. So the way that they vote, or the way that they're thinking, I guess, the way that they're interpreting this, is really going to determine whether or not the Democrats will retake the House in November. But Trump and Obama and everyone who supports them, they're just going back and forth on this. And each side is claiming, it's their policies that have led to the ongoing economic expansion. All the steady job growth and higher stock prices. But in the case of Donald Trump, the pros are actually appearing to agree with him. There was a recent survey of economists who suggested that it is President Trump and not Obama who should be taking the bow. Now, the Wall Street Journal asked 68 business, financial, and academic economists who was actually responsible for the strengthening of the economy, and most suggested Mr. Trump's election deserves at least some credit for the upturn. Now, for them to admit just that little bit is huge, because that means that they know exactly what's going on. Now, a majority of them had said that the president had been somewhat or strongly positive for job creation, gross domestic product growth, and the rising stock market. Very, very good sign. And they also went on to say that the White House's push for lighter regulation in the recent tax bill was critical to a pro-growth environment. And more than 90% of the group thought the tax bill would boost GDP expansion over the next 2 years. Can you see where this is going, folks? Now, last year, this same survey, the economists awarded President Obama mixed grades. Most saw his policies as positive for financial stability, but neutral to negative for GDP growth and negative for long-term growth. Well, duh. Now, contrasting to this, Donald Trump was seen as neutral to positive for the long-term gains. Well, have you ever played Yahtzee? Who gets the bonus up top, that 35-point bonus? The person who plays long-term and not short-term. And that's actually a little test that I give to people. If you consistently do not get the bonus on the top in playing Yahtzee, you are a short-term thinker. If you consistently get that bonus, you are a long-term thinker. I'd like to play a game of Yahtzee with Trump and see what happens. So this article wants to know why Trump would rate higher than Obama with this group. So the economists point to the upturn in business confidence that accompanied Trump's election and tie that to increasing business investment. Spending on capital goods accelerated sharply over the first three quarters of last year, growing at an annualized rate of 6.2%. Now, such outlays will spur productivity gains and lead to wage hikes, creating a virtuous circle complete with rising consumer confidence and spending. We're already seeing this, folks. This is what they can't argue with. Now, unhappily, Trump voters have not yet caught up with the experts. Well, we'll see. Democrats have done an excellent job of trashing Trump's policies, yes, issuing hysterical alarms over the supposed dangers of deregulation, toxic water and foul air, and vilifying the GOP tax bill. But imagine the nation polling negative on a tax cut for an estimated 90% of the workers. That takes genius. Democrats are absolutely terrified that these tax cuts will be a pleasant surprise to those who believed House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi when she called the bill Armageddon, and when Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer declared it as a kick in the gut to the middle class. And folks, they are even more terrified of the bonuses and the raises that are being handed out by employers in both large companies and small businesses who are crediting this tax bill for those benefits, those unexpected benefits that they didn't even foresee. Now, the Democrats are going to try and convince all of the voters that those $1,000 bonuses and pay hikes are just crumbs, and that multimillionaire Nancy Pelosi came out and actually said this. She called them crumbs, folks, which means that people who got those crumbs are crummy in her mind. Well, I think she's crummy in my mind. Now, $1,000 may be just a little pathetic crumb to somebody like Nancy Pelosi, who's worth millions, but for the majority of Americans. That's significant, folks. That was a large and welcome windfall to come along. Now, the Democrats are winning the messaging war for now, and using President Trump's unpopularity to sour Americans on everything that the White House does. In a recent Quinnipiac poll, a record 66% of those surveyed graded the economy as excellent or good, but 49 of those surveyed credited Obama, while only 40% named Trump. Well, they'll come around. The poll, however, seems biased. You think? Quinnipiac is in Hamden, Connecticut. Of course it's biased. Only 23% of those questioned were Republicans, while 34% described themselves as Democrats, and 38% said they were independents. It also asked the questions in a way that appeared likely to elicit an anti-Trump response. Well, what else is new? As the months go by, you know, it's going to be increasingly difficult for Democrats to separate all these raising wages and faster growth from the tax bill that was sponsored by Republicans and the rollback of regulations, which has actually encouraged an upturn in business investment. Now, even the New York Times, who is no friend of President Trump by any means, folks, has described the wave of optimism sweeping over American business owners, saying that it is beginning to translate into the sort of investment in new plants, equipment, and factory upgrades that bolsters economic growth, spurs job creation, and may finally raise wages significantly. Wow, that is incredible. More than 2 million workers have now received bonuses and or raises because of this, folks. And their bosses are telling them the benefits are flowing from the GOP tax bill. And that number is just going to increase. As all these other companies are pressured into sharing the proceeds from lower taxes, they're going to jump on board. You're going to start seeing profit sharing again. This is a huge, powerful, and persuasive movement that's coming through this country, folks, and is gaining momentum every day, which is most likely why Democrats are just so foolishly belittling the payouts. They can't do this too much longer before it's going to crash and burn on them. Now, finally, it says that a vast majority of Americans feel more optimistic about their prospects than they have in a decade. Or as Kennedy would say, a decade. Will they really want to rock the boat come November and throw out the party at the helm? I don't know. I guess, folks, we shall see. So I have a couple minutes left here, folks. I just want to bring something back from last week when I was talking about Deerfield, Illinois banning assault weapons. I did not go over what they're actually banning. This is word for word verbatim from the assault weapons ban that Clinton put through. And there's a little note here that says, as defined by the village, the term also, and this is in addition to the actual listing of particular rifles by name. It says, as defined by the village, the term also includes semi-automatic pistols, semi-automatic shotguns, conversion kits, which they're calling parts kits to put together to make your own gun, and any shotgun with a revolving cylinder. Now, folks, this is the one that's always gotten me. There is no shotgun that I know of with a revolving cylinder. I mean, that would be a revolver that fired a shotgun round. I have never seen one. I've never heard of anything like this. If you have, please let me know. Now, the Stryker Street Sweeper did have a revolving magazine, a revolving cylinder magazine, but it was not a cylinder. And that's been banned by the feds for years. So this whole thing is just a bunch of garbage from a bunch of people who have no idea what they're talking about, and all they're doing is spewing the same rhetoric and garbage over and over. Now, speaking of over, my time is just about up, but before I jump off of here, I just wanted to comment real quick on the passing of R. Lee Ermey, or for those who actually knew him, he went by Lee, not R. Never worked with him on set, but I did talk with him occasionally on the internet. He will be very sorely missed. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.